Welcome back, everybody, to Rantpocalypse Talks The Walking Dead. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly, and together we are the world's greatest mother and son podcast team.
Cheers. In the world.
Oh, beers!
I got beers, yep. This is actually a really good beer. I just found it at my local beer stop.
It's your beer stop. No, either one works.
It is a place I stopped to get beer, so I guess technically it could be a beer stop. It is Aloha Traveler Pineapple Shandy Limited Release. It is right there, if you can see it.
Oh, it's so adorable.
It is very cute. I mean, for the people, the audio listeners out there, you can't see this right now.
It's but a big, fat pineapple.
Yeah, but you see its eyes? Do you see? Yeah. It's got like the little cute, it looks like they're little pieces of pineapples that make this pineapple's eyes, and then it's got a sweet mustache.
It does. The mustache is probably the sweetest thing. Like an old-fashioned handlebar mustache.
I know. I love it. I love it so much.
Love it because of the way it tastes or just because of the way it looks?
The way it looks? No. I love it because of the taste. The taste to me is fantastic. The only problem with this beer is that I got it whenever it was like 85 degrees. And then all of a sudden, these past couple of days, it's been insanely cold. And I mean, I'm bitching over here. And I know like the Northeast,
they're
under like 17 feet of snow apparently or something like that.
Yes.
They had a nor'easter. And you know, I'm bitching about my like 30 degree temperatures with no snow. But, you know...
Beer warms the heart.
I can still be allowed to bitch. It does still warm the heart, but I mean, it's pineapple. So like it was all, I was in the mood. I was like, hell yeah, it's about, you know, it's springtime. It's about to be summertime. And then all of a sudden I'm like, holy crap, I'm freezing to death. And I'm drinking a pineapple shandy. But it is really good. And I just wanted to say up front, sorry for last week that we did not have any review or podcast or anything for The Walking Dead. It's not because we didn't like the episode. I think both of us actually liked the episode a whole lot more than the majority of the reviewers did. I really liked the Michonne and Rick-centric episode. It was funny because we were just talking about the fact that we really hadn't been let into their world all that much and seen these two together and see like the dynamics that they have as a couple now because we're so used to them just being two badass warriors on the same team.
It was super nice, but we have had quite a few technical issues. So I think we actually talked about it, but I think we just talked to each other.
I think so. Yeah, we talked a lot about it. We had so many good topics that we were gonna talk about, and we had controversial topics. We had fun topics.
Yep.
Yeah, we had a lot of good stuff, but we didn't unfortunately get to record it. But luckily, we are here for this episode, which is season 7, episode 13. Barry. Me here. I wanted to bury myself, my head basically, under the sand. Today at work, I had an unfortunate accident when I went to the bathroom. So those are always fun, right?
What?
Yes.
Are you sure you want to tell this? And am I sure that I want you to tell this in public?
Probably not the best thing to tell it in public, but I don't really care.
Did you poop your pants?
No, I did not poop my pants.
Okay, that's okay. Goodness. Then go ahead. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
No pooping of the pants occurred. That's very essential that you do not want to poop your pants. You don't want to do that anywhere, let alone you don't want to do that in an office environment where there's literally, I think there's 18,000 people or something that work in my direct office. It's something crazy. It's like being on a college campus where I work at right now. And so I go to the bathroom, and I don't know if I've talked about this before, but where I work at, the bathrooms are literally, I would rather go to the bathroom in like the skankiest, nastiest roadside gas station than some of the bathrooms in my corporate office place. If that paints a picture of how nasty the bathrooms
are. Seriously, they're that gross?
They're freaking nasty. And
I do know they can get cleaning products at a very good price.
You would think that they would have all the cleaning products that they need.
I mean, at a
very great value, and maybe with some smiley faces on them. I mean, literally, I hope none of you guys are eating while you listen or watch this, but it never fails every time I go into do number two. That some dude before me has left remnants. And I'm like, man.
Okay.
Handle that. Multiple flushes, okay. Bro.
In the toilet, but not on the rim.
Not. I mean, every once in a while, I mean, it could have been okay. Something happening there.
I will
bad.
Tell you, a dear friend of ours, a dear mm-hmm. family friend, JT, mm-hmm. Where he works at a small, small office even, yeah. And he does all the Lysol wipes. He takes the Lysol in. I mean, he cleans the toilet thoroughly before he uses the bathroom.
Believe me, every mm-hmm. time I do that, I do clean it thoroughly. Luckily, they do keep a can of Lysol right there, but they need more than Lysol. They need like rubber gloves in the bathroom at all times. God. It's disgusting. I'm like, who does this? So that's not the issue here. So I'm going to the bathroom today in the little urinal, and as I'm going to the bathroom, it just starts flushing.
Yeah.
Just constant flushing. Yeah. Just flushing, 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 flushing. And, you know, and for dudes, it's different, obviously, than the women's bathroom. I don't know if you knew that, Mom.
I didn't know that.
You know, in the women's, they have just stalls. And in the dudes, they have little urinals. And then they've got stalls as well. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to, you know, key you in on that key difference. you don't walk in there. Luckily, the dudes know how to use this. And you don't walk in and they're not squatting on the urinals. They're not going number two on the urinals. We're at least that civilized at this point.
Okay, all right, good.
But anyways, so I'm just peeing, and all of a sudden I get done peeing. I'm going to walk over and wash my hands, and you know, be a good little boy, and you know, sanitize, clean the hands.
I raised you right.
Yeah. Thanks for that one. And I look down, and I just see this like river of water basically on my pants.
Yep.
And it totally looks like I just pissed my pants all over the place, like. Not just like a little pee-pee time. Like, it wasn't, you know, it was definitely pee-pee pants city on my pants.
So it was like you were playing a video game, one of the jump scares, and you just went...
All over the pants. But, it was not pee.
Nice.
And I have one witness.
Well, sure, whatever.
One singular witness, the dude next to me.
Now, that's gross. I don't want to know about you and the dude in the bathroom.
Well, the dude next to me, I was just like, well, that's going to be hard to explain. As it's just like, I mean, my pants are just drenched. I mean, it looks like I had drank like a 64-gallon, like a couple of them in a row, and then just went to town peeing all over myself. So I'm just like walking through the building, and I'm, you know, just trying to
see. You need a sweater.
Keep a
sweater with you at all times.
No. I'm telling you, when I say that the amount of water that was on my leg, it was from crotch to foot. So there was no sweater. I would have had to like have multiple sweaters wrapped around my entire right leg.
You have like 3 or 4 days left at this place.
I know. well, luckily there was nobody, whenever I got back to my hive, there was nobody there to ridicule me. But of course, I told them the story anyway
of
later on.
Of course you,
because,
yeah.
Well, because I went home and I changed pants and I came back in jeans. I was there in khakis earlier, whatever you want
you
to call
these
things.
You went home and changed pants? I get you, man. I get you. I would just say I crapped my pants and take the rest of the day off.
Take the day off. That's very true. It was a very quick like in and out of going home to grab some jeans and throw those other ones in the wash because, you know,
that gross just water, disgusting water.
And not to mention the fact that I was peeing into the said gross water as the gross water was bouncing back on me. So that's the kind of day I've had.
I went and got my hair did today. So
your hair looks very nice.
Thank you. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, somebody washed and dried my hair for me and, you know, shampooed it and, you know.
Oh, I'm glad.
I'm just saying, I had a much better day.
I'm glad you had a lovely day. And so that's why I'm having a said beer as we talk about The Walking Dead. So I do want to get right into The Walking Dead after that story. I figured, you know, it's almost like podcast tradition at this point that we share a semi-gross story almost every time. I don't know what that says about us that we have so many awkward stories and embarrassing things that happen to us, but I say
it's
that's
our life.
It's to make everybody else feel better about themselves.
That's right. I'm glad it was you this time and not me.
Yeah, it was not. It was definitely we spared you from the embarrassment this time. But I'll be looking forward to something embarrassing happening to you between now and next week.
There'll be plenty, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about episode 13 of season 7. Bury Me Here. In this podcast, we're going to be discussing three main topics, I believe. I think I said three, and I put a four up there, but no, three.
Where we're from. Three main topics.
yeah, exactly.
Oh, and I put up seven fingers for those that are just listening.
Yeah, the audio listeners out there. Yeah. So the topics we're going to be discussing will be, was Morgan justified in killing Richard? It was a very sad moment for all of us Richard fans. Yeah, for Richard especially. It was definitely a sad moment for Richard that he got killed at the hands of Morgan. So we're going to get into all that and discuss a little bit of everything to do with Richard and Morgan. It was definitely a Richard and Morgan centric episode this week. And then we're going to discuss two things that are slightly controversial, I think, and might stir up the pot a little bit amongst the Walking Dead fans. And that is, did Carol kill Ben? We're going to get into that. And the last topic is sort of prediction talk for next week's episode, and that is, will Rosita betray Sasha? Because we know, as you see from the previews, they're out on a mission. They're going to go try to take Negan out with that singular sniper rifle.
I mean, it's better than her first plan of one bullet from the hip, you know, and getting everybody else killed.
That is true. I guess she's making her way to a slightly better plan. Maybe one of these days she'll get to a full-fledged plan that is actually smart and intelligent. And then we'll get into some listener feedback as well, because we got a lot of great listener feedback on our Facebook page. You can go find it. It is The Ranting Dead on Facebook. Or you can just comment in the comment box down below if you're watching this on YouTube. So let's get right into it. We're going to go into, was Morgan justified in killing Richard? Actually, I'm going to rewind that.
Okay.
Before we get into the topic.
Uh-huh.
What did you think about this episode overall? Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I liked it a lot. I was happy to see an episode with a lot of Morgan in it. And it was also nice to finally have Carol know what happened at Alexandria. So, I mean, all this time she's been in the dark, living her happy little life, not knowing that, you know, our buddies got beat to death. So that part was great. I didn't like Ben being killed. I hated that. But I think we kind of predicted that.
Yeah, that was kind of our thought process earlier in the season, that somebody was going to have their life sacrificed in order to get the kingdom on board of going to war with Rick and the Hilltop against Negan and the Saviors. Yeah. It sucks. I know we were both, whenever we initially discussed that, we were not pleased with that. If the writers chose to go down that path and kill off Benjamin, because we both really like his character. I think
he was so great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed his character, even though it's not like we saw a whole lot of him this season, but I thought the little small tidbits that we saw between him and Morgan and him and Carol, I thought were really, really good stuff. I like this actor, the kid. I don't know. He has like this way about him that he reminds me of somebody previous some previous actor that I really liked that was a kid. I just can't remember. Like, maybe it was just growing up. I think what it is for me, because Austin Emilio, the guy that plays Dwight, he was in a Richard Linklater movie just recently called Everybody Wants Some. Mm-hmm. And Richard Linklater, he did Dazed and Confused back in 1996-5, somewhere around in that time range. And for whatever reason, it feels like to me, like Dwight, Austin Emilio, and this kid could have been like transported from Dazed and Confused into The Walking Dead. I don't know, just the way that they behave, the way that they carry themselves. I don't know, just everything about it to me, he just reminds me of a character from Dazed and Confused for some odd reason. I don't really know why, but I do like the kid, and I was very sad that he did not make it out of this episode. The Carol stuff, Because we'll get into some of that here in a little bit, but did it make you emotional whenever she was told about Glenn and Abraham?
Now, okay, because you and I talked about this a little bit before we went on air, but actually we talked about it a lot yesterday.
We did. we were supposed to record this yesterday.
Yes, so we just chatted about it a lot. I felt all the pain, I mean, because Melissa McBride did just an amazing job. They, you know, had the shot right on her eyes. I mean, she just acted completely with her eyes. You felt every word that Morgan was saying, just from the amount of tear that she had. And she was incredible. And I felt the pain from that. But it's been so damn long for her to not know that for us, while we haven't moved past it, we have moved past it a little.
Well, yeah, that was 12 episodes ago. So even say that there was no break, that a break never occurred, right? That would have been 12 weeks. So that's a tremendous amount of time because that episode aired, what, in October?
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, that's just a very, very long time, and I know we've discussed this before, and I don't want to beat a dead horse or anything, that they've really, really got to work on this. I know that was something that came up in our Facebook messages, where somebody had asked about. Let me find it. I'm about to pull it up really quickly. This is professional podcasting.
This is great.
Yeah.
This is nothing new for us. So.
No, nothing new at all. So it was Carmelita had said that she enjoyed this episode. Lenny James and Melissa McBride deliver the goods every time they're on screen. I'm stoked that the kingdom is now on board with mounting resistance. I'm really excited Carol is off the bench. She said, the gripes I had watching this week are probably less about what actually happened in this episode, but more about what was missing in Season 7A and Season 6B leading up to this point. I wish more time had been taken to develop the characters and the dynamics of the kingdom. Because, yeah, I responded back to her. I said that they've got to fix the structure of the episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, I absolutely love how Game of Thrones structures their episodes, where they'll key in and off of characters for about, on average, let's say 10 to 15 minutes each in every episode. Sometimes it's like in little spurts, like maybe 5 minutes at the beginning, 5 minutes in the middle, and then at the end, like they'll hit with this like crazy crescendo for that character.
Yeah.
And it's
so we're
and it's
always
awesome.
Checking in.
Exactly.
So we don't go for this long, long period of time where you lose the emotional connection that you have with them.
Yes.
The momentum.
Yes, the momentum is just completely butchered because I mentioned to Carmelita the fact that Aaron and Eric, they were kind of having some tension back and forth earlier in the back half of Season 7B, and I think even in Season 7A, there was a little bit of it there as well. But I don't even remember the last time we saw those two. And then Maggie, Jesus, and Gregory, there was some really, really great stuff between, you know, those three characters.
Right.
And then we just kind of leave them hanging. I guess I understand it from a budgetary perspective that maybe we're completely wrong. Maybe that's not why they do this, of how they like separate the episodes. But to me, it certainly feels like that they're just saying, okay, we know we got to pay this actor and this actress this much.
You get $100,000 an episode, so you don't get to be in this episode or this one or this one. So, that's exactly what it feels like. And God knows they have to be making a shit ton of money with commercials.
I can't stand
watching it live. I can't take it.
No, I don't watch it live anymore. I used to love watching The Walking Dead live, and it's really difficult for me, and I'm sure you as well.
Yeah, we have to stay off social media.
Yeah, not being a part of the conversation really sucks because, I want to be in there and talking about The Walking Dead as soon as it airs and everything. But yeah, it's so much better not watching it live anymore. Mm-hmm. I enjoy each and every episode so much more. There was one weird cut in this episode whenever Ben gets shot, and at least it was, I watched this on iTunes. I don't know if this is the same way they cut it everywhere, but as I'm watching on iTunes, make sure somebody's back. All right, back there. But yeah, so I was watching it on iTunes, and the moment that Ben gets shot, because mm-hmm. Gavin doesn't know that this is what happens. He thinks that it was going to be Richard that got shot, and all of a sudden you just hear Morgan, I think it was Morgan, scream out no, or maybe in Ezekiel, I can't remember which character right. it was. They just screamed out no. So the shot went off, and then the scream no. Then it went fade to black, because that went right into a commercial, if I would have watched it on live mm-hmm. TV. But on iTunes, you get the shot, no, and then it fades to black, and then it comes right back into the shot, no.
Nice. and shot. And the scene. No. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a weird cut. I don't know if it was that way on live TV as well, but that's just how it was on the iTunes version. But,
okay,
yeah,
now you
just
said something that I'm going to question here. You said you thought that it was that Gavin thought Richard was the one that was going to be shot.
Yes.
Okay. Now that's not when the first time I watched it, I thought, wait a minute, did Richard? Richard made it sound like for a second like that was the plan, like he and Gavin had gotten together, and. And
oh really? You thought that was that they conspired
that was for,
together
for
to
one,
kill
for
Ben?
For 1 second, for one second that that he had gone, Richard had gone to him and said, "Look, you know, I think you're probably more on the side of bringing Negan down, mm-hmm. and so I'm going to sacrifice myself, and to make all this happen, you need to make sure that I get shot." So for 1 second that's what I thought. That he was trying to say, that Richard was trying to say, it was Gavin said it was going to be me. And then I realized later on that no, what he was talking about was the fact that in one of the other drops.
Okay.
Yeah. So
gotcha. I'm following you now. First, thought, okay. But no, whenever he was talking to Morgan and mm-hmm. he said that Gavin had told him that he would be the first one in the lineup, that he'd be the first one in the lineup. Yeah. It still brings up a very good point about Gavin, and me absolutely loving his character. Mm-hmm. I think he is one of the most nuanced and well-written villains that we've seen on The Walking Dead in a long time. He's very, to me, in a certain way, he's very reminiscent of Merle, where he has this, like, he has a gray area. It's not black and white to him.
Exactly.
Which is cool to see, because I love everything about Gavin. I think he's a very, very interesting character on the show, and I'm glad that we've got to see more and more of him, because I honestly thought that we would see lots of Simon in season 7. I thought that would be the character.
And
which
I think
I'm,
we
I'm
will
sad.
Next that we will next week.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I love whenever he's delivering the lines to King Ezekiel. It's because it's to him specifically. I mean, obviously it's to everybody that's there at the drop, but he's like, it's A's or F's, no I's.
No I's, yeah.
Yeah, I love whenever he's delivering that. And then, you know, he's like telling King Ezekiel that he's like, you've got to understand the situation here and the stakes that are going on right now, that... This is some serious stuff, and whenever they get back to the second drop, which I'll point out that I really liked how the opening of the episode started with that second drop. I thought that was really cool, because I was like,
confusing. One cantaloupe. Why are they bringing one cantaloupe?
Exactly. Yeah. When I first mm-hmm. watched it, I was like, what the hell is this? Taking one cantaloupe
in this big ass truck.
Even though they were taking 12 cantaloupes.
12
in the big
cantaloupes
ass truck
in the
too.
Big ass truck, and they had. 7 dudes to bring 12 cantaloupes.
Which, I mean, I understand the dudes. Like, you got to have the backup. I mean, if something goes down.
I didn't understand that part, but it, you know, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I loved in that second drop whenever Gavin comes up and he says, "How's the kid?
How's the kid?"
And man, his face was great in that moment.
He's a much more realistic person.
Yeah,
in this world, because there are the shades of gray. I mean, he mm-hmm. he knows what's got to happen, but he doesn't want it to. He wants everyone. Let's just, we know the way things have got to be, so let's just do it instead of I don't need to be the super big bad guy and blow away little kids and that type of thing. So when they went back to that second drop and they went exactly to the same spot where the blood puddle was, where Ben's blood was, was heartbreaking to me.
Yeah.
And then when I noticed that, when I watched the episode again and saw them put that first melon in the big truck, and they shut the doors and they, you know, they kind of pan back and you see Ben's blood there.
Yeah.
From, and it's just, oh, yeah. It was just so sad.
No, it was very sad. Even whenever they were heading to make that drop. I'm sorry, my dogs are going crazy in the background.
That's all right. Ignore the dogs.
Yeah. They're just having fun. But what I really liked whenever they were about to get ready to make that second drop and you see, Ezekiel, you know, he's kind of like one of the last ones that's there to check on the cantaloupe and everything, mm-hmm. make sure it's good. But you have this shot of Morgan in the background throughout this whole ordeal of, you know, we see, I think his name's Daniel. He comes up and messes with it. I think Jerry comes up and messes with it. Then Ezekiel. But the shot whenever Richard was behind Ezekiel, because the whole time Morgan's looking away, he's looking back, and then whenever Richard comes up behind Ezekiel, that's when he's like, he's got the side eye, just completely staring at him and everything. So, I loved everything about this episode. I thought it's, in my opinion, it's been one of the strongest episodes of the last couple of seasons. Even I just thought the writing was that good. I thought the action that we got in this episode, even though it was like, it wasn't a whole lot, but it was enough to kind of like supplement all of the character driven stuff that was going on in this episode. So I love the music choices in this episode were amazing. I loved, you know, the somber music that was playing whenever the opening drop happened, you know, that first drop before the opening credits came on. It was just all perfect.
When the whole thing is going on with Ben and they're bringing him and putting him on Carol's kitchen table because she's the closest spot that they could come to.
Yeah.
That it had that really driving music.
Yeah.
Listen to it again because I think it's music that's used in the Walking Dead video game in one of those places where we have to make a really, really hard choice. If it's not the exact same music, it is so similar. Because it was really funny. I'm like, I know this music from somewhere. And it must be season one or season two because I play both of those so many times. So.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, even that opening music, to me, it reminded me a lot of The Last of Us.
Yeah.
It felt like a very Last of Us vibe and everything. So, yeah, I thought this episode was perfect. Scott Gimple, he wrote this episode.
He did good.
Yeah, he did very good. We might have threw a little salt at you earlier.
I have never bagged on Scott Gimple. I don't know what you are talking about.
I think we might have to go back
to
the tape.
Do not check the tape.
Yeah, we're going to have to go check the tape on that one, Mom. All right, so let's get into the actual nitty-gritty stuff. Let's get down to some of these topics and discuss them. So right off the bat, we're going to open up with the topic of, was Morgan justified in killing Richard? So what do you think that he was? Was that too far, or did he do the right thing by taking out Richard in the way that he did?
I will say I don't have an issue really with Morgan doing Richard. You have such a bad mind, Justin. Who taught you these things?
Yeah. I think that would be
Taking him out that way, I don't really have an issue with him killing him, but it seemed odd timing to do it the way he did, where he did it at. And so what I'm thinking is he had to have just snapped it in the moment. That had to been it. Or do you think he was planning it at that exact spot?
It's very tough to tell with Morgan, and that's what's so... It's very hard to understand sometimes the thought process going on in Morgan's mind. That's one reason why he's such an interesting character, mm-hmm. because we do see these vast swings mm-hmm. with Morgan, of where he's very tranquil, he's very peaceful, he's a pacifist, and then we see the complete opposite,
right.
where we see him in Clear, in which we got lots of little flashbacks as he's yeah. losing his shit in this episode. But it almost to me seemed, I don't think that he planned it, but it was very quick thinking on his part to basically say verbatim what Richard told to him that he was going to tell to the Saviors is exactly what Morgan then tells to the Saviors after he took Richard out.
Right.
I think it was, you know, in the heat of the moment type action, where the fact that Richard did not go to King Ezekiel and tell him what happened in the timeline that Morgan
yes.
wanted it to happen.
Like right now.
Yeah,
I needed you to, between now and now, yeah. you need to go now
yeah.
and tell him. And he should have, well, I wouldn't have wanted to do that if I was Richard either. I mean, I'm kind of surprised that Richard didn't just try to go ahead and kill Morgan, because Morgan was the only person that knew.
Yeah, that's very true. And it was weird in that conversation that Morgan had with Richard, whenever Morgan put two and two together and found out that he mm-hmm. was that Richard was the one that did this. Because at first you see Richard, he's still very broken. He's very distraught. He's very emotional. He, you know, starts talking about his wife, his daughter, the story of how they were lost and how yeah. he saw it all in front of his eyes. But then he like flips a switch and he like turns into like this, like he turns back into the, I'm going to kill fucking Carol
exactly.
in order to start the war. He becomes this like psychotic, just very, yeah.
It's funny because, you know, my hairdresser, we sit there the whole time talking Walking mm-hmm. Dead and other favorite TV shows.
Yeah.
But we talked a lot about that scene and the fact that you had so much sympathy for him for just a second.
Yeah.
You know, when he starts tearing up and telling his story, we're like, oh God, well, I can see why he did this. And
yeah.
and had he stopped there, because Morgan could understand that a lot too, because he'd lost his wife and child.
Yeah.
So you know, he could sympathize with him. But then all of a sudden he goes from being this dude with tears in his eyes to, well, but this is how the way it's gonna have to be, and I guess I'm gonna have to lead things. And I'm like, you fucker.
Yeah.
So
when he said he said I'm gonna be the leader of this
yeah.
army, my initial thought was, is he about to try to take Ezekiel out too?
Yeah.
That's
now, bitch,
what I thought.
Bitch, I would have cut a bitch, because you know you're not messing with him.
I know you want to break you a little piece off of Kari Payton.
Okay.
I know you do.
And see, we had a big conversation at with my hairdresser
about how
friggin' fine he is. Dude is fine, and the fact that even with the dreadlock wig.
Where was this at on Facebook? Where was this on
yeah,
Facebook
I know,
Live?
I know.
Come on now.
I
you can't
I should
you,
have.
You can't not have these amazing conversations about
have.
The show and I mean, you got to be spreading that.
She wasn't feeling good, so she was running to the bathroom in between, so it wouldn't have been a nice smooth conversation.
Gotcha.
You and I could understand completely those kind of, you know, breaks.
I understand. I understand how that happens.
But man, we talked about his eyelashes and those big brown eyes and the fact that he has got the most fantastic rump.
And this is what you came here for, people. I mean, come on.
Oh my God.
You didn't
God.
Come here for analysis of The Walking Dead. You came
Hang
here
on.
For analysis
Woo!
Of Kari Payton's rump.
Rump. He's. Mm.
He's baby's got back there. Is that
yes,
what's going
on?
Yes,
he does. Because you don't get to see it most of the time because he's got that long coat on.
I know. You're like, God, get. Who's the costume designer back there? Come on now. Get that thing off of here.
If Yulin Womble was still there, she would not have any of this.
She'd let that booty shine. Yeah. Come on now.
But in the garden scene, you know, when Carol comes, I can tell you exactly what he's wearing.
Paint this picture for all the other ladies and men out there that, you know, like Kari Payton.
Well, they
behind.
Didn't cover it up. They didn't cover it up. And apparently he does squats while he in between takes. That's
good
all I'm saying.
Good for you, Mom. Good for you. Hey, I mean, We didn't know who this guy was before he got the role. I probably have heard his voice before because he did a lot of the DC animated stuff. Yeah. But I certainly did not know who he was. And regardless of how, you know, good his butt looks, he has been doing a really good job as Ezekiel as well.
He really seriously has killed it. Because he gives the character everything, to me, that I think Ezekiel needs. He needs to, because he's so over the top.
Yeah.
The character can't be played completely over the top. His voice and mannerisms, but his personality doesn't need to be, because otherwise it would just be a joke.
I agree.
He's a leader that you would actually want to have you'd live in his community easily. Yeah.
No, I love King Ezekiel.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Rick or Ezekiel, who would you rather have be your leader?
Rick, for sure. Rick, yeah, I mean, Ezekiel hasn't proven it to us that he can get down and do the dirty work.
He has a whole community of people that...
Doesn't matter. You asked me.
Well, you're wrong. That's what I'm just saying. You're wrong.
You're like, you're wrong. I asked you who you would pick, but I don't give a shit who you'd pick because you're wrong.
I'm so sorry. That was horrible. I asked you who you'd pick.
I think that's kind of everybody, though, at this point. It's like,
I know,
God. Your opinion's wrong. You're the worst person in the world. But yeah, I would pick Rick still. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that I wouldn't be swayed by, you know, King Ezekiel. I think he is a fantastic leader, and I loved everything that he did in this episode after the loss of Richard, because Richard mm-hmm. was his right-hand man. I mean, he put a lot of faith in Richard to get things done at the kingdom and to protect the kingdom, and, you know, to see this happen for him, to be betrayed like that, because you know, Benjamin was very close to Ezekiel as well, and as was Richard, and to lose both of those two people, like probably the two closest people in his life, in this episode, one because of this quote unquote betrayal that Richard did. But I loved at the end, and this is what to me makes King Ezekiel a very good leader, is when Carol comes to him and mm-hmm. says, "We've got to go fight," and he said, "I guess we do, but not right now," because he's still making sure that there is a future, and it's a short term future and a long term future, because he could have just been like, "Oh yeah, we got to go to war right now. Right. Screw getting having food and all that kind of stuff." So I do like that. Mm-hmm. A lot about Ezekiel. I just have to see. I gotta see him in action. I mean, you know, I gotta make sure that he can handle himself. Not saying that he wouldn't be able to, but
I think why hasn't he brought Shiva along? Because a lot of that crap would not happen.
Well, I think he hasn't brought Shiva along because of the CGI budget. Because we saw that deer last week.
I know. Last week was just the worst.
It was really bad. I watched an interview with Andrew Lincoln and Greg Nicotero that was just recent, from like this past week. And it was brought up in that interview. And, you know, Andrew Lincoln never watches the episode, so mm-hmm. I don't think that he really cared. Greg Nicotero, you could tell they were just like, I think Nicotero said, "Yeah, that didn't look anything like a deer. I don't know what that was." So somebody,
it didn't. I mean, it was just, it was terrible. That was it was so bad. But you're probably right, because we've had a couple of green screen issues, CGI issues, that you're going, "Oh shit, they did spend all their money on that tiger."
Yeah, that tiger. That's must why cost we should. A lot.
That's why we should see it more often, you know, or at least, I don't know, put it in a crate in the back of the truck and move that mechanical head that they built back and forth. That's all you have to see is that.
Yeah, I'm ready to see Shiva in action and everything. Yeah. So, all right, so let's circle back to this question, because there is a lot to unpack here for Morgan killing Richard, and honestly about Richard as well. So like, even before you can say like, was Morgan justified in killing Richard, do you think that Richard was right in doing what he did? Do you think that his actions were justified in taking the cantaloupe, having this elaborate plan of of being able to take the cantaloupe and putting his grave site there, which now we find out that that was intended for his own grave. He wanted them to bury bury him there. That's why he put Katie's backpack there and everything. So,
I mean, I think really, I mean, it was a good plan. It needed to be done. And he thought he was sacrificing himself. He really didn't think it was going to go the way it did.
Yeah, I thought it was a very noble plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, for somebody to because think about the mindset that you've got to put yourself in to get ready to kill yourself. I mean, you're basically committing suicide, but you're just not the one that's killing. You know, it's still a murder type of situation, but you're putting yourself up there for that.
It's one thing if you go to war, if you go out and fight, because in the heat of the moment, it's when you're actually getting to maybe fight your way out of something.
Yeah, you have the ability to fight back.
Exactly. But when you know that that in your mind, there's no way you're coming out of it because this is the plan. You're going to be, you know, they're going to kill you because they hate you.
Yeah.
So, it was very noble. I had him in my zombie apocalypse fantasy thingamajiggy. So he screwed me by getting killed because...
Yeah, I don't think he's got you any points, and I think technically, if we were going, I think he lost you points whenever Daryl bloodied him up because I think that would have accounted for that he had some kind of facial or scars or anything like that. But yeah, so you lost him. But at the end, I still feel sympathy for Richard, no matter the fact that he got Benjamin killed. That was not his intentions. He was not trying to do that. What should he have gone about this plan in a different way? Yes, but at the same time, how many times has he gone to Ezekiel, to Carol, to Morgan, to Daryl, like all these people trying to say, like, we have got to figure out a way to get Ezekiel on board, and he's kind of been the only one, you know, the linchpin of trying to get Ezekiel into the fight.
No one listened. No one was listening.
No, they didn't listen. I still love that Morgan kept up Richard's deceit by going to Gavin and saying, you know, we wanted to show you that we get it, that we know what we need to do in order to make things work and make the relationship work. So even though Morgan kills Richard, he still, to me, honors Richard in that respect, and the fact that he goes and buries Richard in that grave. He picks up the backpack and buries it with Richard, because at the end of the day, those two were very alike, like you were talking about earlier, that they both lost their wife and their child in very similar fashion. They both had to see that happen. They both at that moment weren't strong enough to do what needed to be done, and now, you know, Richard was in this moment. It just didn't go in the way that he wanted it to. And it hasn't gone the way that Morgan has wanted it to every time that he has found that strength to do what needed to be done. It's never gone really all that well for him in those moments.
Okay, so did you feel comfortable with the flip that Morgan made as far as personality-wise from being someone that just barely can touch a gun to somebody that can put his hands around somebody's throat and just choke him? Did that seem too quick to you?
It is very drastic, but no, I don't see any issue with it. I think that Morgan's always battling with that inside himself constantly. So for me, It didn't really bother me at all. I know that I think Tammy had mentioned something about it, that she said that she's glad that Morgan is down to earth, but hate that he has to be crazy to be realistic. Middle ground, please. So,
if you think about it, it's okay. When he lost his mind the first time was because of Dwayne, and he lost somebody else that he was kind of considering as a son with Ben.
With Benjamin, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, basically, it was the same catalyst.
Yes, definitely the same catalyst and everything. So, I don't know. It's hard to say. For what happened with Morgan in this episode, his dreams were basically crushed because He had, in essence, Eden with the kingdom. He found this place that he could finally put it, you know, cast aside all of this violence, all of this anger and everything, and Richard crushed that.
Yeah.
And just destroyed that entire side of him with finding out that he betrayed them and got Benjamin killed, like you said, that his second son, if you will. So it didn't bother me at all with the drastic shift or anything. I think all of us in that moment would be the same way, right?
I think so too. And I think he's known in the back of his mind all along that this was going to happen, that it had to happen. So it looks like from the flashbacks that he had going on that he's been really, really fighting his insanity.
Yeah, I think so. And then, you know, it's not going to get any better for Morgan at this point, I don't think. And I don't know. We didn't see it on screen, but I like to think that Morgan also had to be the one that put Ben down.
Oh, we did see it. We did see it.
We saw him stab him in the head. I missed that because they showed him dying, and then all of a sudden we came back and there was a blood spot on his hand.
Right, and he was wiping off his knife.
Oh, I just meant in the sense that we didn't see him like stab it in there.
Wiped off the knife.
No, I agree. I put two and two together that's what that meant.
Okay,
but...
well, I didn't know that, you know, for you that it has to be completely spelled out.
I got to have it right in my face or it didn't happen. I like that moment. It was a very subtle thing with him wiping off the blood on the knife and for him to put, you know, to have to put Ben down too.
And then to do it to Richard, I thought, you know, this is really interesting that he's the taker carer of her. That's a word. Look it up.
I like that word. It's a very good word. okay. Well, I think we're both in agreement that he was justified in killing Richard. We were sad that he killed Richard, but at the end of the day, I don't really know how they would have went on with Richard being a part of the group. He would have kind of had to be more of, they probably would have had to cast him out and he would have been on his own. But his death is still propelling them to war. It's just unfortunate that it kind of puts a mark on Richard's life in Ezekiel's light.
Right.
Which they, you know, they were besties.
Yeah. They were buds.
They were buds.
Now we'll never know who's the girl.
We will not. We will not find out who the girl is. There wasn't that many girls that we saw at the kingdom anyways.
No, but I wanted to know whose little romance was with. And they did that to us on purpose so that we would have more hope for Benjamin's future.
For Ben. I know it's sad. I will miss Benjamin quite a bit. But... maybe we'll find out in the future about the girl.
Yeah.
I highly doubt it. It'll probably just be one of those plot points that they never come back to on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
They're going to move on into war. So, all right. So, speaking of Benjamin, we really liked him. We're very sad that he's gone. So, let's get into the second topic of, did Carol kill Ben? What do you think?
Carol so killed Ben. And it was indirectly, but he came to her when she... came God, what do they call where they're at?
The kingdom.
God, there's so many different places, you know? I'm thinking, where the are they for this one?
Like, I'm on video, and I'm on audio, and I'm blanking. I can't think of the name.
I can't remember the place where Ezekiel is.
Yeah.
When he saw what a badass, again, that she was, he said, hey, look, I can skip this drop. I want to hang out with you. You could teach me some stuff. And she does her thing that she does, you know, to try to keep kids away. She, you know, she's strong-arming them.
Yeah.
It's sad, but had she just said, come on, Ben, let's go learn some stuff.
Yeah. I mean, obviously this topic is meant to be controversial and just kind of sort of fun in bringing this up because...
Yes.
yeah, at the end of the day, the way that Carol has acted towards Ben, she's just constantly pushed him off, pushed him aside, because yeah, you're right. She doesn't want to let any kids in. She sort of let Sam in a little bit.
And then she told him about all the monsters that were going to eat him and kill him and got him killed.
Yeah, which ultimately led to Sam's death. And this seems to be a recurring pattern here.
That's what I'm saying.
Of Carol getting kids killed or just getting people killed, period. Because when you think back in last season, she wanted to leave. She wanted to get away. But she went about it, in my opinion, the wrong way. Which I guess there's no wrong or right way to just get away from everybody. Yeah. It's like, all right, I'm either going to tell everybody, they're going to try to convince me not to leave, and they're going to say, no, we need you, and you can't leave us, or you just leave in the middle of the night in the car with all the spikes coming out of it. But that ultimately led to Glenn's death, because Daryl goes after Carol in a stupid way, trying to just bail out of Alexandria and everything, and then Glenn and was it Glenn and Michonne, and who else was with them? I can't remember. Rosita, right? So it was those three. They go after Daryl, which in turn gets them caught by Negan, because their asses would have been back at Alexandria, and my poor, sweet, sweet, lovely Glenn would still be alive.
Although
Carol,
he would have gone with his wife in the RV.
No.
Because they were taking
her. No. No.
They were taking her to
That's
the hilltop.
That's not logical. So, what are you talking about? He'd still be alive, damn it. Don't you break my dreams.
I'm sorry. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, you're probably right. You're probably right. But in this moment, because we're talking about this topic, I'm blaming Carol.
I blamed her until this moment, too.
Until
I went a little bit farther, I was like, oh, shit. It was his wife that was in the RV. He would have gone with his wife. And,
yeah.
But, yeah. It's when you think about it, Benjamin's little brother, she went to sit by him at the very end of the episode. Get away, little kid. Get away. Run. Fast.
I know. Get away if you know what's good for you.
Don't listen to her stories. If she says, I'm going to teach you about knives, or look at the flowers, or what the frick ever, just run.
Or go do your drop. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I mean, yes, at the end of the day, no, Carol did not directly cause Ben's death. That's not really the point. It's just kind of interesting to think that all Carol had to do was, just say, come on back with me, Ben. And then Ben would have never went to that drop, and he'd still be alive. But for me, it's even deeper than that. It's like, you know, we see Carol in this episode having the bad dreams. We've seen her she's just recessed into basically this hermit, and she doesn't want any interaction or any engagement with any other human beings. She just wants to be left alone, because if she's left alone, she doesn't have to hurt anymore, because nobody else that she loves will die. And yet again, I'm not going to say that she loved Benjamin. She didn't really know him all that well, but you could see like the admiration in Ben's eyes, the way that he looked up to Carol so much. And I want to see happen on the Walking Dead TV show. I want to see Carol recognize this. I think that's one of their major issues. And you know, you were talking about Gavin being such a realistic character. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't get realistic dialogue sometimes. And then sometimes we don't get realistic situations of how people would handle this. Because to me, if we've already seen Carol go into this just major depression mode, this would be another catalyst to me to put her back in that mode.
Right.
But it gets kind of glossed over in this episode. She doesn't even acknowledge it, which, again, yes, she did not directly cause Benjamin's death, but in a very, small, minor, indirect way, she did.
Right. And I think if you're in the mindset that she's been in all this time, you would blame yourself. Because I know, for me, I would immediately go, oh, crap, he wanted to stay with me.
Yeah. Oh, and we would... I mean, I've labored over something I said to somebody that wasn't even that mean, but it may have came out in a mean tone. And then, like, months later,
yes,
they say something short to me that's it's something that they should have said that's very short to me, like, hey, I'll get that to you. And I'm like, oh. They hate me?
I guess they don't like me.
That time that I said something to them and they still think about it, and that person's probably doesn't think about anything.
Right.
So yeah, if you put me in the state of mind that Carol is in, you're gonna just overanalyze everything at this mm-hmm. point, I would think. But yeah, I don't see them bringing it up. I hope that they do. I hope that comes up in some type of dialogue, like maybe in a moment of tenderness where, you know, Ezekiel is embracing his new sweet lover Carol. Mm.
She should go there.
Yeah, I know you want her to go there, just so you can hopefully see Kari Payton like in a bed with no clothes on. But yeah, like maybe bring it up there. Like it doesn't have to be super emotional. It doesn't have to be like the this major plot point or anything, but just kind of like, I should have told them to stay. Like I should have been there for Benjamin. Something like that is what I would like to see, but I don't think we're going to get to see that.
I don't think so either. I'm just curious, really, how much longer Carol will be around anyway.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's my question. Now that she knows about Alexandria, what do you think? What's she going to do?
Well, even her reaction to Morgan was still, you know, a little bit shell-shocked, because here Morgan is saying it's time to go fight, and Carol's like, you can go but not go. And I get that she went to Ezekiel and said we're gonna have to go fight,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't necessarily mean that Carol's saying I gotta go be on the front lines. It just could mean, hey, you've got a battle here. I don't know. I would think that she's going to go to war, and that she's going to take that the news that Morgan relayed to her, and, you know, bottle it into this just massive angry energy,
right,
to go take out the Saviors. But I don't know. I don't know at this point with Carol as a character. I don't really. She doesn't really interest me all that much anymore as a character. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I think that her time, in my opinion, has passed on the show, and they should have done something more with this depression state that she was in. I think I even mentioned that to somebody on our Facebook page that I really think that they probably should have explored suicide with her, with that character. I know.
Yeah,
it's dark.
If you're the thing is, for me, if you were seeing all the things that we saw, especially in this episode, with her having the bad dreams and and not wanting to be around people, I mean, you wouldn't want to be alive.
No.
So I was very surprised when they didn't go that direction, and I think that they didn't go that direction with her because they know they're going to offer her up as somebody that's going to die this season. In a fight.
I don't know. I don't think that she is going to die. I think that she's honestly going to take the place of Michonne from the comic books, and her and Ezekiel are going to shack up at this point. And I think that she's going to be still one of our, you know, our mainstays on the show. But I guess that's going to be her interesting angle going forward. And this isn't a slight at Carol as a character. It's just like we've seen this complete story arc for her, and I just don't know where that story arc goes to her being like Terminus Rambo again. I don't know if I really want to see that. Maybe if there's a middle ground for her where she fights, but she's just not that same like badass Carol
she
was.
Okay, so like makes poison cookies.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I'm
that's
down
a middle.
With that.
That's a middle ground.
Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. I mean, yeah, she can slide right into Game of Thrones territory where the old grandma lady, I forget her name, the Tyrell grandma, mm-hmm. If she slides into that,
yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah, you're okay. All right.
I'm okay. All right. So let us know what you guys think. Do you think that did Carol kill Ben to you? Was she responsible for Ben's death? yeah, let us know in the comments down below, or you can email us. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. All right, let's get into our third topic and final topic. Will Rosita betray Sasha? The reason why I wanted to pose this question to you is because we know that they're going on this mission to take out Negan with the sniper rifle, but we also know that Rosita has been kind of a loose cannon lately. Mm-hmm. She more or less got Olivia killed, and I just don't know if I trust her with Sasha's life at this point, because if you remember back not so long ago, whenever Sasha was trying to be buddy-buddy with Rosita, and she says, just because we slept with the same dude dead doesn't dude. Make dead us dude. Friends. Yes, same dead dude. Which, he technically wasn't dead then, Rosita. No, that would be creepy. That's creepy. Necrophilia.
That's super creepy. That's super creepy. I don't like who she is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I get that Abe is dead, that she was spurned. I get that, but you know, everybody lost somebody. I just don't like who she is, and I don't trust her.
I don't trust her at this point. I don't, not even as much of not trusting her because I think that she would do something deliberate towards Sasha, mm-hmm. but I feel like if the shit hit the fan and she knew that she wasn't going to be able to kill Negan in that instance, mm-hmm. but Sasha was like about to get kidnapped or about to get taken, killed, whatever, mm-hmm. I feel like at this point in time, Rosita wouldn't do all that it takes in order to protect Sasha, that she would just kind of be like, well, not me, and then, you know, because she wants to get Negan again. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like, how many lives do you have, or how many chances do you have to get Negan? And I definitely feel like if there was some chance to still get him, even though it meant to Sasha losing her life, Rosita would take that chance. And I mean, I just don't know how much she likes Sasha. I know you said that everybody loses somebody and everybody gets spurned. There's not a lot of choices going around in the zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
And when you find a big red.
Yeah, no,
you
I
keep
get
them
it.
Around.
I get it. If she would have heard some of the conversations that happened, she would know that Big Red didn't even want to take the time to break up with her before he started hitting the other girlfriend.
Hitting her mom? What is this hitting? What are you talking about?
Isn't that what you call it? Hit nut?
Oh, man. Love these conversations with you, Mom. Hitting that. Yes, it is called hitting that.
That's okay, then, smart ass.
Yeah, yeah. So Abe was definitely hitting that up until he got hit in the head. So I don't know. I think it's interesting thinking about this. Do you think they're going to be successful by any means? I mean, do you think that they would take Negan out? Is Negan going to go out that way, getting sniped?
Boy, that would be anticlimactic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. Like,
yeah,
and he just like slopes into his chair. Yeah, not much of a finale in that one.
No, no cliffhanger for sure.
No,
I don't see it. I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening either. There's a comic book storyline that a lot of the Walking Dead comic book readers are reading into, that one of these two characters will take the place of one of the comic book characters that you know played a very pivotal role within the start of the war, like the very onset of the war with Negan. And I kind of agree. I agree with a lot of the comic book readers out there that I think that one of these two characters may play that role. I'm not gonna spoil it or anything. I mean, I'll tell you the character's name. Her name's Holly in the comic books. If you don't know who Holly is, because you're just a TV show watcher, it's not a
you're
spoiler
just
at
a
all.
TV show
yeah,
watcher.
Yeah, you're just a TV show watcher. I know, that's when I put my Game of Thrones mode on, which I can't really do anymore because I only read the first three books. So,
yeah.
So it's well beyond my reading level of Game of Thrones now. It's way past that, but I do read the comic book still, even though I'm a couple issues behind. I just don't think it's going to go. It's not going to go the way that they want it to go. I think this is a half-cocked plan. I think it's stupid. I think Rosita's been making a lot of stupid plans. I like her gumption and that she wants to go get shit done. Mm-hmm. But just like Tara said, why don't you save that for them? Because her constant just attitude towards Father Gabriel, for one, I'm like, my boy Father G has been just laying it down. He's been a badass, and you're over here talking shit to him.
All the shit that she was talking to him, she was the one that got Spencer and Olivia killed, really. I mean, Spencer's big mouth got himself killed for the most part.
He was going to be a goner anyway.
But she got Olivia killed. Yeah. So, but she blamed Father Gabriel for it.
She got Eugene kidnapped.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And made him sad, and made him really sad.
Made him sad for a moment till he met all those ladies that
that's
Negan
true,
has.
That's true.
And then
that's
he was
true.
Like, okay. Alexandria? I didn't even live there. I didn't even put that on my resume.
He would have put it on his resume if it wasn't for the fact that Rosita was so mean to him while he was there.
I know. I agree with you. I find it interesting, this whole scenario, this whole plan, because in real life, we know that Sonequa Martin-Green has been cast as one of the leads in the Star Trek series. And then we also know that congratulations to Rosita in real life. I forget her name at this point. But she's pregnant in real life. So I don't know. They're about to start filming season 8 here very, very shortly. They usually kick up. I think they get there in Alexandria, but they get there in Sonoy usually around April-ish. Mm-hmm. And then they start filming in May. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know at this point. We may lose both Rosita and Sasha to this plan, and which would really suck. Not only because both of them are very cute and pretty and beautiful, but that's two more badasses that Rick and the gang would lose. And at this point right now, they ain't got a lot of badasses to go around, mm-hmm. even though the kingdom is, you know, signed up, and I'm very anxious to see if Jerry is actually a badass in hiding. You know, I think he might be. I'm hoping so.
I hated it when he got bonked in the head. Mm. Don't bonk my Jerry.
I can't wait till Jared dies. Man, fuck that dude. He could fit right in Dazed and Confused as well, but
I know that's some hair, isn't it?
He's got some nice hair. Yeah. But I hope Jerry cuts it off with that big battle axe that he's got.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Oh, it's gonna be fantastic. So, so let us know what you guys think. Do you think Rosita has the potential to betray Sasha in enacting this plan that they have to take out Negan with the sniper rifle? Let us know all those thoughts in the comment box down below, or email us, rantpocalypse@gmail.com. And so let's get into the final part of our podcast discussion, and let's get into some listener feedback. Do you have it pulled up as well, or do you want me to go straight into it?
I don't. I will. You go ahead. I'll pull it up. Okay. If my computer doesn't die while I try it.
All right. Well, I can read them all for you if you would like.
Oh,
so,
good God.
You see what I have to deal with over here, people? See these working conditions that I have with my mom?
It's terrible.
All right. First one is from Jose. I could watch Morgan and Carol all day. What a fantastic episode. I was initially not happy because I knew that Benjamin's death would be the catalyst for the kingdom to stand up and fight the saviors from the start of the story, or of his story, but the twist of Morgan killing again with his bare hands, mm-hmm. Wow. You like my dramatic reading?
Yes, I do like it. Yeah. I think it's effective.
No, it's effective, good. Mm-hmm. Fantastic twist. And when Morgan was telling Carol the truth about what the saviors did to the Alexandria crew, it was like reliving all that pain through Carol's reaction, much like you said. Yeah, there was a lot of really good facial acting in this episode, mm-hmm. from Morgan to Carol to Ezekiel. Yeah, I know. You're getting close, Mom. You're getting at you. You know, a few more.
Oh, wait a second.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah,
put some drops in my eyes.
You really need to see that if you're just a podcast listener, to watch my mom try to do facial acting just now. It was fantastic. Jose said, I think Melissa McBride can act as good with her eyes as Andrew Lincoln can, because that is, Andrew Lincoln is very good with his facial expressions. Yes. as acting. Sometimes he doesn't have to say Carl or, you know, stuff and things. He didn't have to say much because his face does a lot of the talking for him. So in the final scene between Carol and Ezekiel, when Carol said that we have to fight, then Ezekiel replied, "We do, but not today." Then he went back to gardening. It reminded me of the song "Turn, Turn, Turn" by the Birds. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, and a time to weep.
For every season.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a very, very
that's
good song.
Crazy. Yep, yeah. That's good. That was extremely deep.
It was. That's why. That's my exact reply to Jose. I said, going deep with the lyrics tie-in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was... That's really what I loved about this episode. There was lots of good stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I love Nabila whenever she said, "You can tear it out and cut it down. You can burn it and throw it all away. But if you want, it can all grow back."
I
love that. To me, that was such a great metaphor for rebuilding society, like mm-hmm. Ezekiel is trying to do with the kingdom, and the fact that, you know, the saviors are there, they're trying to burn it all down and everything. So
I love that she says that so deep, so just yeah. meaningful, and then I pissed myself. So
me and Nabila have something in common today.
Exactly.
We both pissed ourselves.
That's
so
great. That is awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. Thanks, Jose, for that feedback. Sue Ellen said, "Loved The Walking Dead for the first time in a long time. Also really like when Ezekiel isn't doing his larger-than-life thespian act. Ezekiel, Morgan, and Carol were all great, and hats off to Scott M. Gimple for the script." Totally agree. Couldn't have said it better ourselves. They were all fantastic in this mm-hmm. episode. Robin said, "I haven't been the biggest fan of this season, but this episode, fantastic. Loved it."
Did she say fantastic?
Well, she said it in all caps, so I, you know.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Then you're right. All right.
Scott, love Scott. He works at Film Dispenser, which we used to be a part of and everything. Mm-hmm. He said, "If you guys are out there are fans of Lenny James, that we should all check out his British crime series, Line of Duty," which I love the shit out of Lenny James. Unfortunately, Low Winter Sun did not work out for Lenny James. But that doesn't mean that we didn't love him in it. Right. So, yeah, but I think you can check it out on Amazon. So, and then Liam said, "Loved Morgan's head turn at the end, looking like he's lost his mind again. If so, he could be very dangerous to the yeah. Savior." So, really quick thoughts on that. What do you think? Do you think that Morgan is going to be dangerous, or do you think that he is ultimately going to get himself killed now by the saviors, which I would be very pissed off about?
You know, that it's a good question. I think there's a distinct possibility that both those things will happen, that he will be very dangerous to the saviors, and in doing so will probably get himself killed.
I agree, unfortunately. That's gonna really bum me out if in the season finale that, you know, they've talked about that there's gonna be lots of deaths,
right?
And
if you were gonna pick somebody that would be extremely painful for you right now, and impactful, and I mean, obviously you got to take Carl off of the yeah. table, or Judith, because I know how much you love baby Judith.
Oh yeah, my favorite.
And Rick.
Yeah, and I think you can take Maggie off the table as well.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
You can take, there's a lot of players you can take off the table, but Morgan isn't one of those players right. you can take off the table at this point. Sasha's right. not. Rosita, Eugene, I think, is in danger. I think I would put Eugene on a lower level of being in danger, just because he's useful still. Like, mm-hmm. there's something that the saviors could get out of him. I do think that he's ultimately going to betray the saviors in some form or fashion and get back to Alexandria. But right now, for me, Morgan would be the most impactful, emotional. I think mm-hmm. some Walking Dead fans would say Carol. But for me, Morgan would be more emotionally impactful to lose than Carol, for me. What mm-hmm. about you?
It would hurt if he was gone. Carol would hurt me too, still, even though every time I predict a death, I always predict her. for years and years and years. So that would bother me a lot. But I think even Father Gabriel would hurt me.
Oh, I mean, Father G has been stepping it up a lot. And it's weird how certain characters, you know, they would really hurt us right now. Aaron, even though he hasn't got a lot of time, but that would really hurt me. I think Eric would be more in danger of losing his life than Aaron. Joseph mentioned this as well, that he loved it when Morgan lost his shit and choked out Richard. Morgan's character is so cyclical, it's kind of crazy. He started off normal and helped Rick a ton, then lost his mind when Dwayne died, came back with the help of Eastman, and now he's lost it again. Like you, I'm worried that his end is coming soon. How many times can the same character go full circle? Looks like we've got Carol back, though, which is good. She's so much better as Beast Mode Carol. Her turn as a non-killer hasn't been real believable, in my opinion. I would agree with that, too, Joe, as far as it comes to Carol. I think that it's almost like they didn't know what to do with her, so they just did this rat with her.
Let's just let her go read a book at a house, and they go by and visit her every once in a while. So, yeah.
Which, you know, when you think about the pairing of her and Morgan, it makes sense because she used to give Morgan so much shit in season 5 about his pacifist ways and everything, or maybe it was season 6, I can't remember. And it came full circle for her that now she's like, oh, I shouldn't have been saying all those things to Morgan. I should have listened to him a little bit more and maybe been a bit more cognizant and in the moment than she was in the past. So, yeah, but I'm with you, Joe. It's a really scary moment right now for Morgan because, whenever he says I'm gonna go hunt them all down, and you know I'm gonna kill them all,
and his stick that he's been using only to hurt somebody, but not kill them, he's sharpening.
Yep.
He's making it into
a spear.
So.
Oh man, I'm gonna be quite distraught if we lose Morgan in the next couple of episodes. So. All right, well, I think that was about it. We had lots of great feedback. You know, we really appreciate you guys writing in to us on Facebook. And if you want to write more, again, it's The Ranting Dead on Facebook. You can email us. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube. It's just Rantpocalypse. Got a whole bunch of great stuff on the channel. We're going to have more and more stuff here going forward in the future. Just a little bit behind the scenes stuff. I'm going to be moving here in the next couple of weeks. And so it might be a little bit crazy as far as that's concerned, but we'll try
crazier.
To still. Crazier than it's already been. I just got my brand new computer back.
Yes.
And hopefully it will be actually working going forward. So I think that'll be a really big help to us, making sure that we get, you know, everything done and it looks good and we like how it looks and you like how it looks. So big move coming up for me.
Congratulations on the new job.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. So if anybody listened to our podcast last week, I talked about it briefly, I think, in the front of that I had an interview with a company called Cinestate and got the job. And I'm super excited about it.
Of course they'd hire you. Why wouldn't they?
Well, you know, I was going to tell them they were crazy, you know, if they didn't hire me. But
I called him and told him they'd be crazy if they didn't hire you.
Hey, this is Justin's mom. I just had to tell y'all you're going to be crazy if you don't hire Justin. Well, I appreciate that, Mom. Thank you for being there for me and being a badass mom. So I don't want to get into all of what that means for us yet going forward. It will come with some changes, I think. We don't know what those changes are yet. But definitely, if you're listening to this right now, I'm going to be visible a lot on Cinestate. All of their social media stuff behind the scenes, that's me going forward in the future here in a couple of weeks. So be looking at Cinestate, and you know, you can follow them. They made a badass movie. I think I already said it last time, but it's called Bone Tomahawk. They're making a lot more really, really fantastic stuff. They're making books. It's going to be, I'm very excited about it. I haven't been excited about a job really my entire adult life that I've that I've gotten. I've always just taken jobs because I needed money, and that's what you do. You just you take a job because you got to pay the bills. And this is the first job I've ever taken where it's something that I'm passionate about and very excited to do. But we love you guys. I mean, it was insane to me looking at the Facebook and seeing all of those replies and all those comments and all that feedback. It just, that makes your heart get all warm. It's not, obviously it's not any money. It's not anything with that. It's just like the engagement and the interaction that we can get from you guys. It makes my day. I think it makes your day as well.
Oh, so. Definitely. It's I mean, that's the whole reason that we do this is is to hold conversations. And so you guys are just completely awesome. And this sounds like we're saying goodbye. And I don't think that's the case. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we are not. So,
yeah, you know, I don't.
Justin's breaking up with me. That's
I'm
the deal.
I'm new mom, Tom.
Yes.
No, couldn't break up with you, Mom, because you're the bestest mom of all time. So. But yeah, I don't know what it means yet, to be totally honest. So, but we'll find out here in the next couple of weeks. But until that time, we'll be back next week discussing The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 14. We've only got 3 episodes left, which
hard
is crazy.
To believe.
I know.
That's so hard to believe.
Yeah, it's very crazy. All right. Well, we're going to be gone now.
And
I'm going to go get some amazingly cheap ribs. I cannot wait. These ribs are so good that... They're so amazing. They're best ribs
nice.
Ever.
I'm going to go maybe mow the lawn.
You're going to go play Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay.
Don't try to front,
Mom. I wanted
Mom.
To sound like a grown-up. Damn,
I'm
going to
go do my taxes.
Yeah.
No. I can't get away from this video game. I came this close to calling in sick today, and I may call in sick tomorrow. I don't feel good.
Man, you hear her voice. Kelly's
I just don't feel good.
Not doing good. So, Horizon Zero Dawn is fantastic for all you game players out there that listen to us or watch our videos. It's really, really damn good. All right, we're gonna cut it off. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching, and we love you all. We hope you guys all have a fantastic rest of your week. We hope you enjoyed these conversations, and hopefully maybe they started a little discussion amongst everybody and let us know what those your thoughts are. So we love you again. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. And if I share with tell you